Right. Welcome to the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 Board of Commissioners special session today on Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. This is being held in pursuant to Governor Inslee's Proclamation 2028, the COVID-19 notice. This is a special session, so there won't be any approval of the agenda. The purpose of this is to have the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 commissioners discuss generative governance and evaluate meeting agendas. Action may be taken, and we expect to conclude around 5, but that can be that's an estimate only. It is being officially recorded, and so I will go ahead with a little narrative. First of all, Case and I met with Mike and Parma this morning to kind of fine-tune what we might discuss today about this. And we all agreed that as a board, we are better prepared today to discuss this than 6 years ago or even 2 years ago. We felt like we've come a long way as a board, but what can we do now to continue that trend? So that will be today's discussion. And one idea is to look at generative governance, not as a method of governance or government, but to determine if there are elements of it that we can use to augment the status quo. Today's goal then is to look at the characteristics of generative thinking and discuss what we think might benefit us as a board. We may not finish this today, probably won't. And if so, we can continue the discussion at the retreat on January 12th if the board decides to. We will also weave the agenda topic into this discussion. So we can go ahead and dive in. And Case, I know you put substantial effort into this. Would you like to begin our discussion with your findings and your ideas on the generative thinking?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Jill. I was moved 2 years ago in reading the book that Karma presented to us and the information that she presented to us. And the more in recent months that I've been thinking about that, the more I see it as one of the diagrams, the copy of which I sent, I had Alyssa make a copy of it and send everybody. It's this little triangle that shows that all boards need to do a certain amount of fiduciary work, strategic work, and then have the opportunity to do generative work, but it's not a replacement for anything else. It's not you suddenly become a generative board or you change all of your policies to become generative as opposed to something else. So it's not like the experiment that you all went through before I joined. What was that, the Carter method or something? It's merely a description of the way in which a board that is already functioning well with fiduciary issues and with strategic issues, it's a way for that board to add an additional layer of thinking, discussion, and questioning that hopefully will allow a board to keep the biggest picture in mind. And so it's not to ask questions or have discussions of things that are happening at the operational or management level. They're more free-flowing questions and discussions about possibilities and insights that we might have, given our reading of things in the exterior environment, whether it's local housing problems, whether it's the daycare shortage, whether it's environmental change, whether it's the local economy in Jefferson County. I think it's something that I would love to have us explore. And as Jill said, I have no attachment to our making any decisions in terms of changing our meeting agenda or the way we do things. So I would see this just as an exploration of the concepts of generative thinking and generative governance.
Any questions or comments about what Case just said? You might give some ideas, like the things that we were discussing earlier today about, you hit on it, childcare. Maybe because we are out in the community, we could have a role. Generative governance would help us help people understand what we can do. We could find out how we can help with childcare. Right now, Molly Parker is working on that, and I think Dunia is. What role do we have as a board to help the organization tackle that situation? And health equity, and there are several other, many other ideas that we could use to augment what we're already doing and what the staff is doing. We don't want to get down into the nitty gritty, but we do need to, would be nice to expand our role, I think. Does anyone have any ideas, or what are you thinking? Yeah, Bruce.
You know, I think in some ways, since 2 years ago when we talked about it with Karma, I think we are doing some of it. And it's not like, in my mind, generative governance isn't a standalone thing. It's a third of the way we should be doing things. And so I think about, well, what we did around health equity. To me, that was more generative, certainly, than fiduciary or strategic. We've had some discussions about daycare and some options and who we might collaborate with to do some of that. And that's more, we're kind of framing the question or the issue rather than coming, you know, like you would in fiduciary or strategic, you're coming up with set plans. We're talking about where we see some of the needs. And what does that mean to us as a hospital district? So I think we're doing some of it. So I it's hard for me to figure out. So yeah, we should probably be doing more of that, but I don't see us sitting down and say, okay, now we're going to do generative governance.
Okay. Matt, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I mean, in looking through some of the materials, I mean, the basic, I sort of see like our basic purpose as a board is to be have our eye on the mission of the organization. And several times over the years, we have revisited, you know, examining how we state our mission. And so I feel like, you know, that's sort of like the first generative sort of point that we have to always probably revisit, you know, periodically. And I'm like, I totally am in favor of more board meetings where we are doing more generative thinking in that way, you know, about what services do we offer, you know, and just like getting data from, you know, experts about major trends in healthcare or major, you know, so more generative types of discussions, creative discussions, facilitated perhaps by, you know, facilitators. Those are my thoughts at the moment.
Maury?
Well, I'm with the two guys. I'm on that program because I think we're already doing it. And I think it is important to the hospital district as well as our community members, how we look at things. And I take what Kay said about not just saying we're going to be a generative board, because I think we have to be a bit of a mishmash of all three types. So, yeah, we're on the same page by the sound of it.
Okay, so it sounds like we have consensus. So how now the next step might be to take a look at some of the things that has everybody looked at, some of the things that Case sent out earlier, or do you have in front of you any of that material? We might delve into some of the things that are in there and take a look and say, you know, what is this appropriate or not, or for example, this one, generative thinking in general.
Oh yeah, I was looking at the same one. Is that page 9 of the?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking at that, Jill, and I think it'd be good to just read that aloud and see how that resonates.
Okay. All right. So generative thinking, and this is generate. It is actually the definition, of course, is to produce or bring into existence. So the root of that is Genesis, meaning origin or creation. So it's just simply to produce, bring into existence. Generative thinking is a playful, inventive, inquiring, creating meaning. So the most important work that takes place in an organization is when people first begin to identify and discern what the important challenges, problems, opportunities, and questions are. So the first thing to do is come up with the questions. Secondly, the way in which intellectual agenda of the organization is constructed encourages the board to be present at those times when the organization tries to make sense of circumstances, tries to make meaning of events. So that looks like it's when there's special things happening, like COVID, for instance, the board would be the intellectual agenda of the organization. Would encourage the board to try to make sense of those circumstances. And third, boards need to get upstream. They tend to wade in much too far downstream. So at the beginning of the stream instead of at the end. So what do you think of that? I'm not sure that this is going to be very productive if we continue along this line. Has anybody any suggestions for opening up to questions that we might be asking?
Well, I'd like to make a few comments, if I could, about
what
you just read. And this is something that I said at the meeting this morning with Mike and Karma as well. I don't want us to create more work for the staff. You know, staff is busy enough doing a great job, in my opinion,
absolutely,
of operating and managing and doing all those things. And so I think what I would love to see is have some of the initiative for looking for material that we might discuss come from the board. There's no question about it that Mike has more information about trends in healthcare and all of that than all of us combined, just because he's so immersed in it and he lives and breathes this stuff. But, there are articles out there that if we just read them and then just had an opportunity to discuss them and explore what we think about them, without having an endpoint in mind. And this was something that came up in the conversation with Karma this morning, that if you're trying to solve a problem, so you say, we have this problem, now we need to come up with a solution, then that's more strategic thinking rather than generative thinking. Generative thinking is at an earlier stage where it's a little more free flow and you're not sort of trying to hem yourself into a solution. Yes, eventually some of what we might come up with in a generative discussion might end up on a strategic plan and then actually possibly be implemented. But I think we're talking about an earlier level of conversation when we're talking about generative thinking.
So how would we construct those conversations? Would we add a section to our existing meeting? Would we have a specific meeting, a separate one once a month to discuss this? We're pretty full with our agenda as it is now. Would we use this in place of the education topic and discuss that at the beginning, from the 2 o'clock to the 3:15 time frame? Do you have any other ideas of where we might fit this in and how it would be best for your schedules and your thinking processes? Yes, Bruce.
This is just an idea, you know, free thinking, right, Case?
Right.
So maybe once a quarter we have a thing like this, and we toss out topics that we think we need to have more conversation about, and then during those next 3 months, we decide which ones we want to have the conversations about and what we're going to do. But rather than try to do something every month, we might, you know, after we've done the kind of the quarterly thing, to come up with some ideas. What things do we really need to be thinking about here? And then pick from those which ones we want to get more information on. And then, then gear our conversations and discussions around those that we decide that we want to have more discussion about.
That sounds like a good idea. What did the rest of you think about that?
Sounds good to me.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm totally open to that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea. And it's also possible that in the same way that Bruce and I went off and worked on the resolution regarding health equity, two of us would agree to work together to bring some material or a topic the next month, so that, you know, that there's some thought process that might go into some of our discussions before we get to the time when we're discussing it.
Okay. And so then when we have the discussion, what would be the hope for next step after that? I guess part of it would depend on whether it was a new topic or something that the hospital weren't already working on, or something that had just been raised in the community, or would it be more something that we are already working on that we might be able to augment?
I would think, if I might, that the first such session that Bruce is recommending, we brainstorm, you know, what our potential, and in a brainstorming session, you know, you take 20 minutes and you just keep going until everybody's exhausted and you've thrown out crazy ideas, stupid ideas, whatever, anything goes. And then you can come back and you sort of say, well, okay, here are So I think a brainstorming session of what kinds of topics would be interesting. And in fact, we could even do that here today if we wanted to. So I think that would be a first step, is brainstorming potential topics. And who knows what we'll think of once we sort of release our imagination about what might be relevant.
Okay. Okay, so then once we discuss the topics, what would be the next step?
Well, I think that we would decide after we've discussed the topics, what we want to do now. I mean, I don't think I can say what the next steps would be at this point. It's after you've had the discussion and say, yeah, I don't know. You know, we all decide, no, we know enough about that. But this one, let's get some more information. And then, you know, we'll dig into this deeper. And then we may or may not decide, well, we need to work this into a strategic plan or to our goals or a new avenue, you know, a new expansion of services or something. I don't know until we have those discussions.
Okay. So, well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is what is going to be the end result. Are we doing this so that we can help with a strategic plan? Or are you thinking just take each individual topic and see where, you know, are you asking the administration then, because we're saying we don't want them to have a lot of extra work. What are we going to do with this information? What are we going to where is the end of this? What is the end result that we're looking for? I guess that's what I'm asking, because I'm not clear. I just like to pose that. Is anyone else lacking clarity, or is it just me?
No, I think to some degree, because I think it's sort of a nebulous, foggy area. But I think one way this can help, I think, us improve and become more generative is to look at questions and issues that come before us, maybe, or select something that we think is going to come before us and start looking at it from various different ways. What one does with the conclusions you know, the final analysis, if you like, it's a bit like being a forensic anthropologist looking at things in the, you know, from the other way. I've got an example that was kind of interesting. In 17th century, Europeans believed that a jar full of old rags and wheat husks, if left open a few days, would spontaneously generate flies. It took nearly a century for people to speculate the flies might be depositing eggs in the jars. So once that question was raised and a different understanding became obvious, an unseen biological process was the generating new life, not the wheat and the rags. So when you start looking at things differently, not with what you see in front of you or what you think, looking at it from different angles helps become more generative and come up with different solutions. If I make sense, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. That makes great sense. Is that the general consensus? Is that what you see?
I don't have a further comment at this moment about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I see it the way that Mari just described it, and what Bruce said. Until we get into it, we don't know what the rewards are going to be.
And maybe there are no rewards.
And perhaps it's just that we get to know each other better and develop a better working relationship. Perhaps it's we understand the economy in Jefferson County better. But sometimes some of those discussions might lead a little something that then Mike can say, wow, you know, here's an idea that I'm going to take to the SLG, and maybe Tyler could use that information. The other thing that we talked about this morning was whether or not the staff should be generating the questions.
Yes.
Or whether we should be generating the questions. And I think it can be a both and.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this morning I was saying, no, I don't want to give the staff the added burden of having them try to think about what questions we ought to be discussing. But the more I hear this conversation, you know, if Tyler or Tina or somebody says, wow, I'd love to just sort of get some more input and see what the commissioners think about this particular topic, then hey, why not? You know, I mean, anything we can do to help them, I think would also be good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been tracking and completely agree with everything that's been said. I think this is an interesting direction. What occurred to me, Case, when you were kind of distinguishing what generative governance is by saying what it isn't, and that it, you know, it's not working on solving an identified problem. That's more a strategic plan. But really, what it is, it's questioning: are we working on the right problems? Are we solving the right problems? What problems out there in our community should we be solving? And that's an exercise that we consciously go through from time to time. But also, I just think there's a bunch of people in the organization that are wired to think that way. If you look back at Molly Parker's body of work, those are all things that kind of fall out. You know, they would qualify for out of the box thinking for one reason or another, or certainly difficult to cram into a small rural hospital box thinking. And off she goes. And I think that's true with some other things. But I guess the last thing I'll say is that SLG we don't corner the market or have the market cornered on, you know, on identifying the issues in our community that we need to be working on. And I think this is a great exercise, because every, you know, our hit rate's is about 0.5%. There'll be, you know, a bunch of ideas thrown up on the wall, and some will gain a little bit of traction, but hardly any of them people get excited about. But boy, when you do get excited about one, it takes off. So I think this is great, and it's a perfect role for the board to play.
So if right. I may say, it's like a bit like with you, Tony DeLeo. As long as I've been actually at Jefferson, I seem to recall Tony DeLeo was always on about the lack of dental services for our adult patients, and because of the circumstances at the time, over the years, over 40 years, it never really got taken up, probably for various reasons, but also the way it was thought about, you know, hospitals don't do dental, you know, and so by looking at it from a different angle, well, then we can't do our joint replacements because our clients, our low income clients, cannot get to have their dental assessment done. So consequently, that was something I think very generative that came out of thinking outside the box. Well, we might have to change some things. We might have to work with the, with our legislative people, but it was done. So I think that's our first big generative issue that was solved, because people did think outside the box and look at it from a different angle. And I think it was, I would say, forced upon us, but we had so many patients who couldn't access dental care and take care of the rest of their health. I mean, dentistry, the mouth is a very important part of the body and the health system of a person. So that's an example. And, you know, Molly is sort of Molly Parker with her efforts right now. You know, she's got another great issue going that we need to solve, and thinking outside the box is the way to do it. So great.
Great. Okay, well, do you want to... I think we're all in agreement that this is a good path to go to start down. Yes.
I would like to say one thing, and for the sake of, all of our residents, our potential patients, is that by doing this and looking at these things, it does not mean that we are looking to not continue to expand and have the excellent services we've got and expand to more services that are needed, that don't necessarily need outside the box thinking, generative thinking. But to do this in cohorts with what we're currently doing, we're not going to neglect the day-to-day necessities.
Right. So I guess I would ask, if it does sound like we think that heading in this direction and beginning to work on some of the identifying some of the questions, maybe it'd be good to ask if we do want to make this a significant part of our retreat in January with Karma. It was interesting. This morning she confessed that when she puts up slides that say, board should spend 50% of their time on discussions of greater, she admitted, she said, I agree. That's crazy. No board does it. That's too much, you know. So I think she is also, she said, as far as she knows, there is no board that is really doing as much generative governing or thinking as she has been describing. And so I think it would be great to work with her so that she can then begin to figure out what is a practical way that hospitals can begin to get into more generative thinking. And as I said this morning, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, I just want to make it a more stable boat.
Yes, you do.
Well, I confessed this morning that I did the first couple of years, but not in the last 2 years, Mari.
I noticed. You've shaped up quite nicely.
Yes, thank you.
And take that in the spirit in which it's said.
Absolutely. And I love our relationship, so I think this is a great time. Anyway, so I think maybe we should commit, just say, are we in agreement that we'll try to ask Karma to help us formulate a plan at the retreat that really allows us to begin to implement some more generative thinking along the lines that Bruce suggested, which I think would be a good approach.
With the caveat that not everything she says is written in blood as on the stone. Bruce?
I think maybe in preparation for that with Karma, and it, I mean, it's in the book, it talks about, you know, that maybe each of us should write down a list of, say, five things that we think either personally or as a board or organization, we should have some more discussion about or do, so that, and then those can be brought together by you, Jill, or by Karma, and say, you know, four of you, pick this as your number one idea. And so it would maybe preload a little bit of a starting point. And because we all want to do things right, but sometimes we struggle with, are we doing the right things?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes if we're doing the wrong thing.
I think even Matt would agree with that one. Are we doing the right thing?
Well, there.
Well, I think that would be an interesting way to do it, Bruce. The other option that I might recommend is that we do a little brainstorming session right now. And
yeah,
maybe if Alyssa is still around. And
I am here.
You're here. Maybe Alyssa could put up a whiteboard and we could throw out ideas. In a real brainstorm fashion, which is you throw out the idea, it can only be a couple of words long, and there's no questions about it, no dialogue, you just throw it out, and like Mike said, you know, some of the things may stick and some will fall off, and that's all okay. How does that sound?
I think that sounds great. The rest of you and Mike, that includes you too.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So Case, go ahead and start with one. Let's go one at a time, you know, one idea at a time, so other people have a chance to get theirs in too.
Good. economic factors in Jefferson County?
Bruce.
Potential added services.
Maury.
Improved internet service.
Matt.
Legislative advocacy.
Okay. I'm going to say transportation issues for some of our vulnerable people. And Mike?
Workforce expansion.
Ooh, yeah. Those are some heavy topics.
So I'm hedging a little bit. I'm hedging a little bit because we're already working on them, but.
Okay. Anybody got any others? Just go ahead and throw them out.
Organizational collaborations.
Great one.
Yeah.
Community health improvement efforts, i.e. CHIP.
That's CHI.
So we talked about childcare, but we can put that on there. I know something's already been done, but maybe we can do more.
And maybe in thinking about everybody doing longer shifts and the stresses of now, a dietary food service for employees. You know, for home use. There's nothing worse than doing a 12-hour shift and getting home and your kids and your husband need feeding.
Affordable housing. Maybe affordable workforce housing in particular.
I'd like to see us have expanded community outreach.
How many do we want to get up there? There are 12 currently.
Well, here's another hedge because it's work that Dunya is fascinated by and will probably likely soon turn into a Dunya project, but anchor institution, which is this concept of in rural or large communities, big organizations, big employers, big revenue producers, big purchasers, how can they leverage that girth to the benefit and regeneration of the communities it served.
How about the Hadlock sewer?
Oh, sewer.
Which will help with the housing, I believe.
Yeah.
How about bonding? I'm trying to think of how to word this, both historical, a track record of bonding and lessons learned. Because there's some bonds that have passed and some bonds that have failed in this community. And if we're looking at bonding, it would certainly be helpful to like take a look at those. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, so well, we got.
Well, we haven't done much about education.
Mm.
Apart from the workforce expansion, I think somehow or other bringing education, I mean, if we want to have nurses and doctors and lab techs and all those other good people in the future, we need to somehow attract them through maybe some cooperation in the education of the children in the county.
And maybe we should ask Alyssa to participate, since she's both a resident and an employee and a parent and
educating her children.
I think you guys actually hit on the ones I'm pretty big on, which is the affordable housing. I think the MARI, the Hadlock Sewer, is something that I've been really watching, because not only being a resident of Hadlock, but I do agree with you. I think the that will be where you're going to find a lot of your housing once that gets figured out. And then, yeah, education and reaching out to our current high school, you know, graduates to see how we can get them to work here locally. I just think there's a lot of potential that way. And yeah, childcare, lots of childcare.
Just for the record, this morning I was out distributing dictionaries on behalf of my Rotary Club to one of the smaller school settings in the area. And education is very important, I think, for our children and their well-being and their future, but also for us as, say, leaders in the community, where we need to attract our students when they graduate to get further education, then come back home and with affordable housing, they'll be able to and work in our at the hospital, of course, or the, you know, our physician's offices, but also in other places in the community, which will help the economic factors in Jefferson County. I mean, it's a kind of a cycle of things that when you look at the list, that's going to be important for the to maintain when us old people are gone. To maintain our city and our community and our county.
I'd like to go ahead.
I think Mike hit on a little bit with his workforce expansion, but I think about some of the things that we did at the Bill or other places with, you know, internships, apprenticeships, those sorts of things. Are there some positions that we have trouble getting people to help fill, that there's another way to build a workforce?
Yeah.
And another thing would be a swimming pool or an aquatic center would be another good topic.
Yeah, maybe just lump wellness and aquatic center. I agree, Bruce. I think maybe as recently as 18 months ago, trying to grow in place or do programs with your local community to create workforce was considered innovative. Now I think it's just practical and must do. I think the labor market has changed. Well, there's no question that the labor market has changed dramatically in the last year and a half, 2 years. There is some question about whether it will snap back like these things have done in the past. But I'm not banking on that. So I'm thinking what used to be, you know, leading edge, very innovative. Wow, let's watch to see if that innovative group is successful trying to grow their own MAs or whatever, is now what every community needs to be doing, because the if the strategy is find a bunch of RNs and MAs and CNAs and lab techs somewhere in the state and the country and bring them to your community, there are way too many ladles and just not enough soup in the pot to where somebody is going to lose.
So just as a, not that it would kind of totally work here, but my nephew in Germany has three sons, and what they have to do when they leave school, they either have to go into the military or into some social service for a year. And one of them actually went into an apprenticeship, and at 23 he's fully qualified in an engineering firm and has a full time wage. But the second one, he did his social work in a childcare center, and he was paid a small amount of money. And so he's chosen to go into that full-time early childhood education as his career now. And so that gives young people an insight into what is available. Originally, because he didn't do well in his last year in school, so originally he was going to go to Berlin with three friends and do his 1 year social service in a home, like a nursing home, senior center. But it didn't work out, so he had to do another year in school, and he did childcare instead. And so now he's doing his early childhood education, and he'll follow in his father's footsteps and be running a local kindergarten preschool, which is what my nephew does. Yeah. So wow. That's an example of getting someone from the community, getting them to know what they like or dislike. The youngest one, however, is going to do an apprenticeship in IT because he wants to do something else.
Yeah, they used to have candy stripers.
Yeah. Janelle Harper was one.
Yeah. Okay. What about that program? I mean, could that be reinstated and get the kids in and helping the patients with, you know, whatever they need, magazines or,
you know. When I was coordinating OB, I used to have, there was a mentorship program going at the time, or fairly, you know, loose, but it was, and I'd have a student with me for 3 months who would come in after school, and that was quite successful. But that was years ago, back in the 80s.
There's another topic I'd like to include, which could be global climate change implications.
Oh, geez.
That's a big finger one. In the dike.
Yeah.
And I worded that as implication, so it's not just looking at mitigation or adaptation or prevention. It's just looking at the big picture and broad thinking.
How about ongoing pandemics or new pandemics?
Or just pandemics? Mm-hmm. Let's hope we don't see another one in our lifetime. Then we're looking at other potentially environmental issues, as in earthquake, preparedness, we should have it, but just looking at all the angles. I mean, just going back to the last power outage, when we figured out that there were one or two other places that needed to be on the emergency generator, and maybe looking at different aspects of with a new building of generating our own electricity that fills or at least takes care of most of the operations.
Yeah, you know, this is a slight violation of sort of the brainstorming free-for-all protocol, but I have to tell you, Mari, that there's a WAC or a statute that was recently passed that now requires hospitals, I think, effective 2022, it's to the local jurisdiction or the Department of Health, to when they build something over 10,000 square feet, to have some sort of environmentally friendly electricity generating coplant on site. So it's just something that Wisha introduced or said, hey, you guys, are you aware of this, a couple of weeks ago? And of course, nobody was. And
you mean I'm almost ahead of my time?
You are. You absolutely. Look at it. You are so generative. but I think that's a nice dovetail between cases. Because Case, I think you can go one step further and global climate change implications, and also, you know, and local mitigation. So mm-hmm. the focus is, because it's difficult to I think a focused effort on translating the global implications, the nationwide and state implications with practical implication or practical applications for a small rural hospital in Port Townsend might give us the push. It certainly would give definition and clarity it'll take what we should do to what we can do, and turn that more into an action list as opposed to we believe in the vision and the philosophy.
Well, later this evening, I'm going out to Finn River for a session called Climate on Tap. And Jessica Plum, who is the producer of the movie, she's a local movie producer and did something on rivers, a beautiful, beautiful documentary. And she and another woman went to Glasgow for the summit, and they're doing a report out for the local climate action group on what they heard and what they think, and what the group, the Climate Action Committee, and the folks working with Local 2020 think would be reasonable efforts for us locally to take. So it's all a begin. It's the key thing is to just keep it on the table and keep considering the options. And I think that's what the generative thinking is all about. The other thing I might mention about the generating our own electricity is that a number of us from a group called the Local Investing Opportunity Network pooled together our resources and partnered with the port, the Jefferson County Port, to provide 17 kilowatts of electricity at the airport. And there was a state program that actually gave favorable reimbursement to public-private partnerships for solar energy generation. So I might add that the Jefferson County Airport, more than 10 years ago, became the first international airport where the runway lights were all provided by solar electricity. So again, there are some options for. So I think I would also put that on the list. I would say explore private-public partnerships for innovation.
Ignore. It's the spring dried up for now.
Speaking of environmental stuff, I was at the dermatology clinic the other day, unfortunately, and I was looking out the window at the green roof, which unfortunately is not green this time of year. And unfortunately, nobody but the people in dermatology can see it. And so if we're going to go green, I hope we can go visibly green and not just hidden green. And I'm still hoping that someday we can turn that green roof into a garden where Aaron can can grow some of the food for the, there we go, food production. There's the list.
Okay. I think we've got quite a few. Now, would you like to try to prioritize them or rank them? Or would you prefer that we do that and then send them in on our own and then send them in to Alyssa? For, do you want to start this as a topic for our retreat? Or do you want to try to rank them right now? We have an hour.
Well, I I'd be happy to have us go through and do basically what I think Bruce suggested, is identify five top or five ideas and see which ones come to the surface.
Okay, so how about if everybody writes down the number of their top five, then we can go from there.
Alyssa, do you have some kind of spreadsheet that you could put the tallies on, or how do you want to do that?
I could just bark. I'll just go like this next to it.
Yeah, that'll work. Uh-huh. The old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Low-tech and portable. Okay, so when we do this, instead of each of us ranking one to five, it would be easier if we just see how many we have on each one, and then if we get a consensus that way, it'll be easier than trying to actually say how many had this one as one or how many had this one as two. Unless we could go through, and that's a good idea, if you could put them in a different color for ones and twos, three, four, five.
Oh, I haven't actually ranked mine as much as I just identified five.
Okay, let's just do that then. Okay. All right, is everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay, how many have number one? Not seeing any hands. Two. That's three for two. Improved internet service, three. Okay. Legislative advocacy, two. Transportation issues for vulnerable population. Workforce expansion. One, two, three. Three, is that right? Is that what you're seeing? Oh, four. Did you say yes, Case?
No.
Oh, okay. So that's Bruce, Mari, and I then. Okay. Organizational collaborations. Okay. Community health improvement efforts. Eight.
Bruce, were you up for organizational collaborations?
Yeah, but I was going to combine that with private public partnerships. I mean, there's a collaboration, both of them. There's just different kinds.
He's beginning to negotiate.
Okay, community health improvement efforts, Chip, is one for that. Alyssa, are you in a better position to see than I am? Because I'm actually voting.
Yes, I am. Yes, I probably am, yeah.
Okay.
So I saw one for Chip. Do you want me to just say it, Jill?
Yeah, I think it'd be easier for that.
9, childcare. I have 4. Jill, Mari, Matt, and Bruce. Dietary food services for employees, specifically home use. 0. Affordable workforce housing. Jill, Mari, Bruce. Expanded community outreach. Anchor institution. Hadlock sewer. Track record of bonding and lessons learned. Case. Education. Jill, Bruce. Wellness and aquatic center. Matt and Case. Global climate change implications and local mitigation. Jill, Case. Ongoing and new pandemics. Generating own electricity. Explore private public partnerships for innovation. Bruce. And then food production.
Great.
So it looks like childcare is your number one.
You want to bold that? Oh, good. Okay.
And then you guys are tied for potential added services, workforce expansion, and affordable housing.
That's good. That's fine. We can be tied. Good job, Alyssa.
And then looks like you're tied. Got a few for 2. So legislative advocacy, education, wellness and aquatic center, and global climate change implications and local mitigation.
When making my selection, I use the criteria of what would be more readily achieved and would benefit the most. But I think all of the 22 that we see before us, in my opinion, are very relevant and very and quite important for us to look at. But I factored the ones, if you like, I wouldn't say low-hanging fruit, because the fruit's pretty high, but the fact that it was maybe something we could do something about and see results fairly easily, or at least less difficult with less difficulty.
It's interesting to me that that economic factors, which you have listed as number 2, Alyssa, which didn't get any votes. I'm wondering, I'm thinking of the planned expansion and the potential bonding that we're looking at in this coming year. And I'm actually wondering whether our understanding of economic factors in the community and our understanding of how bonding has worked and has not worked in the past might not be an imperative if we're going to, as change agents in the community and reaching out to the community, working to support some kind of bond measure.
That's a great suggestion, I think.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to change one of my votes to that.
So, Jill?
Yes.
I think that as we start to talk about some of these, I think some of these, when we get talking about them, are going to pull some of the other things in. Mm-hmm. In my mind, like for affordable workforce housing. Well, the Hadlock sewer system is going to affect the ability to build more houses that could be affordable housing, you mm-hmm. know, and the one about the global climate change and implications and local mitigation. Well, I think generating our own electricity, the hospital. I mean, I think some of these will get pulled into other ones as we talk about them.
I guess I would love to ask Mike what he thinks about the relative importance of the board being fully informed, involved, and I'm not quite sure what the right word is, proponents of the bond issue that we may be bringing to the community as soon as either the end of this next year or the beginning of the following year.
Well, I think it's going to be critical that we understand the appropriate lanes that we can be in with respect to educating about the bond measure and the ones to stay away from, speaking about a ballot measure or whatever. And so I think that's just educational, and I think we'll easily pick up. But I do think it's going to be important that we really do understand not only the mechanics, but the statewide mechanics, but as Case has referred to, the local mechanics of characteristics of successful bond measures and maybe unsuccessful bond measures. While I think this community wants to support community important projects and services, and they certainly lean toward supporting healthcare, the reality is that economically it's a tough time for some, and we will really have to be diligent in how we reach out to the community, how we make decisions about financing the project, particularly if we go that way. And I think the whole board is going to have to be on board and supportive and full-throated endorsement of, yes, we realize that this is a financial ask, we've been involved in the design of this. We participated in the selection of the services. Every square foot of this investment makes sense to us, and this is a necessary thing in order for the district to keep meeting the needs of the healthcare needs of the community. So yeah, I absolutely think that the board needs to be very closely involved in the creation and the execution of this work.
So that's a good one to explore when the time is a little more at hand, and keep in mind all through the process how our role as board members can be utilized best.
The one thing that I have learned from a failed bond at the city level here that I was involved in, is there's a standard recommendation for how far in advance you need to plan to be able to have a successful bond run. And it's much longer in advance than you think it is. It's actually more than a year. And the mistake we made at the city is we made the decision 9 months before we ran the bond, and it failed. We had not done our homework. We had not prepped the community adequately. And there are some very, very specific guidelines and recommendations that that we ignored, even after we had gone to a workshop on it. And, you know, I'll never forgive myself for just, you know, ignoring this thick book of what you should and should not do. And, you know, we paid the price. And so I think sooner than later, we need to really look at what is the prep work that's required for a bond. And how and what is the appropriate way for the board to be involved?
Well, one thing that would slide easily into those two questions is that Jill and I have spoken with Mary Kay Clooney's Rost. I think just one time with Jill. I've spoken with her several times, and I have another call with her this Friday. And she is the person who we've engaged to sort of help us with answering and with knowing the right questions to ask first, and then how best to answer them. She's been in front of this board one other time, but I can ask for maybe a presentation at the January meeting, or there maybe even the retreat if we think we may have time, or another time. And also I could ask her for some reading, maybe that to do and to what not do list has changed, but we do have that resource out there waiting in the wings, and they're putting together a task list, and it's about time to begin engaging the board with that discussion.
Right. Yeah.
Good. All right, so now we've identified our top, eight or nine, and do you want to try to pare them down to five?
What I think I would recommend, Jill, is that we just sit with this list and do the paring down at the retreat in January.
Or the doubling up.
Or doubling up as, yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
And who knows where life will be, what life will be like in January.
Yeah.
And I really like what Mike suggested, is that we stay ahead of the curve with regards to the bond.
Okay. All right. Is that to ring true with everybody? Matt? Bruce?
Sounds good,
yes,
to me.
Okay, good. So, all right, we will keep that then for the retreat and be thinking about it. Is there anything else that we want to talk about? One of the things we were going to discuss was agendas. And yes.
I just wonder if Lisa can send that out. I know it will come out in the minutes, but send that out to us, the list, please.
Yes.
Thanks.
And would it be okay if we put the bonding issue at a higher level? Because right now it's not even bolded. And
what do you want to? What is the title of it? Or do you want to keep this one?
Well, why don't we bring that up at when we're going to discuss this in January?
Well, the question is, would that be then the focus for the January generative thinking would be around the issue of learning about bonding and generating ideas as to how the board can best be effective in helping support what needs to be done. I don't know.
So now you're talking about our meeting versus the retreat. Is that right?
I'm open to either one. Mike suggested that maybe in January we really begin to explore the bonding question, and whether that's part of our retreat or whether that's at a separate, at the January meeting, maybe that, I don't know. I'm open.
We could maybe do that in the education portion of the, right, of the meeting.
For the January meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You know what I would, what I would recommend, for a couple of reasons. One, because I think there are going to be multiple financial instruments and plans and decisions that we're going to have to make. You know, everything from how much cash do we throw at this, how much debt do we take on. To other grant and fundraising opportunities, and including going out to the community. So whenever I talk about the possibility of going out to the community, I make sure I balance it with you know, all of these other things too, so that the message is we expect to. You know, we're gonna put as much of our resources into this, and only go to the community if the project grows to a point and the community needs grow to a point where we need community support. That's the narrative anyway, with up to this point as we're stepping into the planning. But maybe what we can do, Case, is broaden the outline of that presentation, where I can have Tyler spend the first 10 or 15 minutes going through the work that we have done, identifying those other, you know, sort of how would we make that decision on how much cash we could allocate, who we've reached out to understand other debt instruments, and catch you up on that. And then have the bulk of the meeting being Mary Jo Cooney-Ross talking about bonding and that process, and maybe even have some numbers for you that, you know, this amount of tax increase in our community equates to $60 million of funding. Does that sound reasonable?
It certainly does to me. I'm also looking at number 18, economic factors in Jefferson County. I think getting some kind of pulse on the economics in the county. And then just as another aside, I sent to, I think you and Tyler, a copy of my property taxes. And it reminded me that there is a bond that we're also paying off. You know, as well as our general maintenance bond things. So I think, again, looking, I think it's helpful to look at a real property tax statement, because there's nothing like a picture to see, you know, how small what we're asking is compared to what everybody else is asking.
Yeah, particularly because, as I recall in a budget meeting, that for the amount of taxes we received, we give back 12 times that amount in charity care. So that's I found a good way to really get a handle on the amount that we receive on property taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember somebody saying that.
Yes, I do believe.
Okay, do you think we can get that all together for January, Mike, with our, given the holidays in between?
Yeah, no, a lot of that work is done.
we will fine tune some of the specific property tax outlook, but we've been tinkering with this for about the last 4 months, just trying to, you know, because as we look at this continuum of project, and you know, we bumbled our way through this Rotary meeting yesterday, but we sort of classify the work as what we have to do, and that is replace the 65 building because of the seismic and structural deficiencies. That's 36,000 square feet, and you know, so a big but manageable chunk. And then there's the work that we'd like to do to improve the patient care experience, and that's develop some new primary care space to replace the outdated primary care space that we have several physicians working out of. And then there's the expansion work, the developing basically another ESSB because we don't have a broom closet now to introduce a new service or grow an existing. So if you get pretty far down that continuum, or even halfway down that continuum, frankly, that takes us past our ability to self-finance. So we have been thinking about the financial implications of the community pushing us, and us just acknowledging that we're going to have to get over our skis a little bit to meet community need, and what would that look like? So, yep, we can be ready in January with a fairly detailed snapshot of what that would look like, down to the individual tax report.
Maybe we should call the topic master plan funding possibilities, and
yep.
That would include all of that, and we could put it up at the top of the list and say that's the first one we're going to do.
Yep. No, I think that makes sense.
Okay.
So put 10 votes behind that, Alyssa.
Looks like we're using our vocab here. All right. Okay, so we're on a roll, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know what we're going to do in January, what we're going to do with our list, and we're planning to have quarter year discussions in a special meeting on take one of these topics each time, or discuss at one meeting what we'll do at the next one, or if there's something in between we can that raises that comes to issue, we can add it. So does that sound, that's what I'm getting out of this, is that what you folks are telling us?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. Great. So do you want to talk about the agendas in general, how they've been working for you, or what, if we want to make any changes? But I think out of governance, when we have our discussion on generative thinking, I think that'll really come in. The agenda might change a little bit or morph a little bit there. So we might be premature in discussing that at this point. We only have one more meeting left this year, and that's the agenda set for that. So I suggest we discuss the agenda in, weave it in with the generative discussion at the retreat. Are you in agreement with that? Okay.
Well, I might make one comment, Jill. Remember, we did speak this morning with Mike and Karma about presentations and how long they are and how many slides they have and how much focus is on the detail as opposed to the big picture. And So that's something that I'd love to just see whether, because in preparation for either the December meeting and certainly for the January meeting, if we can give Mike a little bit of an idea as to whether or not we would do just fine with having a detailed packet of what is sent that we can see, but perhaps having shorter presentations, sort of like a summary or overview presentation, so that the staff doesn't have to walk us through the details.
I think, does anyone have any comments about that? Is that what you'd like to see? Would you like to change to that sort of presentation with questions generated by the presenter as well? I'm not seeing it. You're thinking. I see a lot of thinking going on.
There's a lot of generative thinking going on.
There is.
Yeah, I was thinking lots of times when they're doing their presentation, it raises some questions that, and you might not get that in just reading it, you know, because lots of times we get the board packet and there's different things in there, but you know, a question doesn't arise until they're doing their presentation and they fill in something else, and then that raises a question.
Okay. Any other comments? No. Are you happy with the way it is right now? I think we could address this again in the retreat.
Well, I would love to see what a meeting would look like if Mike were to encourage folks to not plan for such a long presentation. Number one, it may take them less time to prepare for it, and see what it looks like if they present just a little bit less and we ask a few more questions. Because right now, they typically, in my experience now, they do a presentation and there may be one or two questions. In fact, sometimes there are no questions. We just go on to the next presentation. Anyway, so just a thought.
I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I was just trying to think back when we get the board packets and if all the things are in there. And so sometimes if they are coming to the meeting prepared to do a presentation because they just finished it the day before, you know, if now we need to have all that ahead, does that put more pressure on them to get it done sooner so that we get our board packet in time so that we can actually read through all those things to have our questions ready for the meeting?
And of course, for the December meeting, it's an earlier than usual meeting, is it not? I mean, aren't
yes.
we doing that? So,
I think that's pretty committed. This is pretty busy time of year, and it's short notice.
Right, but you know, at the last meeting, Tyler did an abbreviated presentation because we weren't finished with the month yet, and I thought that was fine. You know, I mean, I heard everything I needed to know to do my fiduciary responsibility. Anyway,
well, why don't we do this? Why don't you make a motion, Case, and we'll see if we want to do that right now or whether we want to wait and discuss it later. I think Tyler's report will probably be about the same this month because we won't have all the financials
right
of this month either because it's early. So, but in order to really facilitate a discussion on this, we need to have a motion on the floor.
You mean to discuss it here?
To discuss whether or not we want to have the meetings, the reports be less lengthy with more time for questions at the end. That's what I understand you to say, but your motion can be what you want.
Well, I would move then that we ask Mike to consider with staff whether it would be helpful to them to present to provide a slightly shorter presentation with more opportunity for questions and discussion. So I would put it on Mike and the leadership group to see what works for them.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. The discussion. Is everyone comfortable with not having as much information in the report? Or that's my question, because I like the reports being more detailed, because as Bruce said, it generates more questions in my mind.
Exactly. That's what I think too. And also, I think we've made attempts before to cut down to 7 slides, right?
Yes. That went the wayside pretty quick. Bruce?
Yeah, the reason I seconded the motion as he made it is because it leaves it up to Mike and the group to decide how best to get that information to us. We're not saying this is what we want. We're giving it over to them. And so is it better the way we're going now, or would it be better to have more detailed stuff up front and then we ask questions and they have a shorter presentation? We're not dictating.
And also, I would suggest that because hopefully one day we'll get back to meet in person, but some members of our community do, you know, go online and either listen at the time or later. More information is maybe more helpful for our community members. I don't know.
So the motion that you made, Case, was to ask Mike, to direct Mike to make the presentation shorter. Is that correct?
No. No, okay. It was to ask Mike whether making the presentations a bit shorter would be helpful to those who are presenting, to his leadership group, and still allow them to get the key information to us and to have more opportunity for dialogue with us. So to have him check with his staff to see whether that would work for them, whether that would be helpful.
Well, I'm still struggling with, I wonder if I would get enough information from a shortened version.
Yeah, you know,
that's my personal opinion.
What we could do is we could try attacking this by putting a hard stop at 10 minutes, a hard stop. And so the presentation, the packet will contain all of the same information, but either, and Brandy typically has the, you know, the widest area and the most, maybe not the most interesting, Tyler would object, but I mean, it's what we do, right? I've Alyssa and I have tried on several occasions to have her make her presentation a little bit more compact, and there's just a lot of stuff going on and a lot of work going on that she feels obligated and also, you know, good about presenting. Maybe the presentations can kind of stay the same, but hard stopper at 10 minutes, and maybe fly over the stuff that's just FYI and focus on maybe the top 2 or 3 things that she really wants to bring your attention. And that way you can, if there's something in the presentation that goes beyond her, you know, what she spoke about, you could bring that up in your questions.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
I do too. That sounds reasonable. What do any other further comments? All in favor of Case's motion, say aye.
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 Right, it's unanimous.
Another rousing addition of spaghetti and meatballs, right?
Right.
We ought to have some kind of theme song that we sing every time we come to consensus on something.
A bell or something. The gong. What about the gong show?
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, is there anything anybody else wants to discuss? Yeah, Bruce.
When I was preparing for my phone interview with Karma, I went through our board book, and I may have been asleep at one of our meetings. I'm sorry, but and maybe it was discussed. But in the board book, it says for community collaboration, it says in collaboration with the CEO, no later than December 1st of each year, the board will evaluate and consider its role, potential community assessment activities, and in the community health improvement process. And I don't remember doing that.
It's not too late, is it?
Yeah, it's December.
Well, it's no later than December 1st in the book.
Well, we're on it. I would say we're absolutely on it.
We were just
I'm sure Mike talked about it and I was asleep.
No, this one snuck by me. And I got to tell you, there's a part of me that's thinking, I was so close if this would have been scheduled for December 2nd. But I'm not even, who remembers talking about this? Because I don't.
I think it was version of the board book are you looking at?
Well, you're on mute, Bruce.
The one I have was revised January 2021.
That's the one.
And it was on, it's on page, well, the pages aren't, oh, it's on page 7 under community collaboration.
Could you read it one more time, Bruce?
Yeah, it says, well, it talks about collaboration in the first paragraph. Second paragraph says, in collaboration with the CEO, no later than December 1st of each year, the board will evaluate and consider its role in potential community assessment activities and in the community health improvement process.
But I don't think it's an each year this year, is it?
Well, what we could do is we could spend 5 minutes right now getting a brief update from Mike, because I know this has also been a topic at the Board of Health, in which the Board of Health is exploring how to continue forward with the CHIP process. So we could actually meet what the board book says by having a 5-minute discussion about it right now.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, here's what I know, that the Board of Health was gracious enough to include us in the replacement process for their new director. When Apple was selected, and one of our interests was the transition from not only Vicky, but of John Nowak in the continued leadership of CHIP, because I think this is a year when we at least should make if there's a decision made on whether we do another community health assessment, it needs to be an active one to either do it or not do it, because it seems like it's been a couple of years and we're probably due. So when we were engaged in that discussion, Apple said, you know, let me get my feet on the ground and some of the transition going on, and then we will revisit this. And I'm sure that they are really, really busy. But the first order of business with respect to CHIP was settling the leadership model and what role Jefferson Healthcare will play, either a you know, a very active role where we provide a part of an employee, or a less active role but still engaged in that, you know, we are active contributors. But maybe the take home for me is that I can reach back out to Apple and ping her on where are we at with this, and is it time to begin the discussion, or at least inquire what her thoughts are about chip work and a community health assessment for 2022.
So what I'd like to make a motion that says that that we postpone the consideration of CHIP activities and community health assessments until that we do it sometime before the end of the first quarter of next year.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'm just trying to...
Okay, no second. Oh, Mari?
No, I just want to ask a question.
According to Robert's rules, if there's no second, there can't be a discussion.
If I might, Madam Chairperson.
Yes.
In the book on generative governance, it says when you're having a generative conversation, throw out Robert's rules, because it impedes the sort of free flow of information. And with a group that is respectful, that listens, and all, that gives equal time. So that's in the section that I copied and sent. So I would recommend we just have a discussion about this and not worry about Robert's rules. So that's just my recommendation.
Well, Bruce?
You know, to try to comply with our board book, I think we've done that. It says we will consider and evaluate what we're doing. It doesn't say we'll make a decision. And Mike has already said that he will talk with them and he'll come back with some information. And at a later date, we can make the decision. But we are considering and evaluating what our collaboration and involvement might be.
And regarding Robert's rules, I believe that's in the board book.
In the board book, yes.
So we do have to follow them.
Until we amend the board book.
Yes. And it does give a structure, at least the theory behind it is there's, if someone brings a topic up and there's not enough interest in the board for two people to, you know, to want to pursue it, at least two people, then it dies. So it doesn't use time.
I certainly agree that my motion died. I have no qualm about that. But the discussion of the topic is something that we can continue to discuss, because it shouldn't be hinged on a particular motion. But we can talk about that. Let's talk about that during the retreat. Because aren't we supposed to also be looking at our board book in January and seeing if we're going to be adopting any changes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't have any problem with just leaving it the way Bruce said. Mike's going to talk to Apple and they'll bring it back to us at some point. I was just thinking it'd be nice to put some kind of time frame on when we consider it. I'm okay with leaving it.
Actually, it's a special meeting and we can't vote on it anyway because it's not really
on the agenda.
Yeah. So, but consensus is that we've done it.
Excellent.
Okay. Super. All right. Does anybody have anything else that they want to discuss? We've got 15 minutes left. You can either go have some fun or talk some more or a combination of the two.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm very satisfied with this conversation. I really appreciate everybody's willingness to pursue this idea, and I'm excited about the next year.
Good. Okay, anybody else have any comments? Well, I agree with Case. I'm glad that we're having this discussion too. I know it's been something that you've been very interested in, and when you presented it differently, and I really understood that it's not a change in governance, being gun shy from policy governance, that I warmed up to it.
Uh-huh. I've never read that, Mari.
It was holding my laptop up. Two of them were.
Okay, is there a motion to conclude then?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any all in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Hasta la vista, my comrades.
Yes.
Ciao.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Alyssa. Great job.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye. Bye.